today is found in the 33rd chapter of the book of Genesis, and also the 37th and the 39th. I left off speaking last week about how that Jacob met Esau, and how that Esau ran to meet him and fell upon his neck and kissed him, and they wept together. What a wonderful meeting this was between Esau and Jacob, especially Jacob, filled with fear, filled with anxiety, thinking that surely Esau would kill him and his wives and his children, and instead they fell on each other's neck and kissed each other. This was such a wonderful thing for Jacob. And Esau, he said unto him, "What meanest thou with all these that I have seen? Who are all these people that I met?" And he says, "These are the children that God hath graciously given unto thy servant." And he made all his wives pass before Esau, and he showed him all his children. This, what Jacob said, is something that you and I may be able to say, who are parents. Hath God blessed us with children? It is God that maketh the barren woman to rejoice and to be a joyful mother of children. Children are a heritage of God, and they are given unto us by God. We are stewards over our children, and there is a time coming when we have to give an account to God for every one of our children. Jacob, he said unto Esau, "These are the children that God hath graciously given unto thy servant." The God in heaven above has likewise children, and he has committed these children unto his dear Son, Jesus Christ. And there is a time coming when Jesus Christ shall present every one of these children before God the Father, just as Jacob said, "These are the children that God graciously hath given thy servant." So Jesus will say, "Here am I and the children which thou hast given unto me. Thine they were, and thou gavest them unto me." What a mercy if we may be one of these children that have been committed unto the care of our Lord Jesus Christ. May I carry it a step further. Parents, isn't it your wish, isn't it your desire, that when this great day comes, that we likewise may say, "Here are we and the children which thou hast graciously given unto us." Oh, my hearers, I am afraid that many of our children will rise up against us in judgment. And many of them will say, "Father, mother, you never spake to me, you never warned me, you left me go on in my sins, and now I must suffer the consequences of them." Oh, I hope that we as parents may be given that grace to speak faithfully to our children, and that God may be gracious unto them, that in that great day we may be with our children in glory above. Jacob, he presented unto Esau a present. He had sent a great drove of cattle ahead of him, and Esau says to him, "What meanest thou with this drove?" Well, he says, "This was to find grace in the sight of my Lord." Esau says, "Keep what thou hast, brother, I have enough." "No," Jacob says, "I wish you to take this present from me, for it is when I seen thy face as if I have seen the face of God." He urged him and prayed him to take this present to him. Esau, he said, I have enough. But Jacob, he said, I have enough, and God hath been gracious unto me. And we notice Esau, he had been richly blessed according to the blessing that Isaac his father had pronounced upon him. His blessings would be from the dew of heaven and from the earth. And God likewise had blessed Esau, but Esau knew not God. Esau did not give God the honor for the blessings that he had. He said, I have enough. But Jacob, he said, God hath dealt graciously with me, and I have enough. Jacob acknowledges God in what he had. And what a mercy that Jacob had this God. Happy is the man that hath the God of Jacob for his help, who made heaven and earth and the sea and all what is therein is, and keepeth truth forever. Jacob had this God, and this is why Jacob could say, God hath dealt graciously with me, and I have enough. Jacob, he had a God for his heart. He had a Savior and a Redeemer for his soul. And he had the Spirit as his guide and as his teacher. Jacob, he had the pardon of his sins. He was blessed with that peace with God which passeth all understanding. And likewise, God had providentially blessed Jacob exceedingly and abundantly, as we see in all the cattle that he had and in the children that he had. And therefore, he said, God hath dealt graciously with me, and I have enough. Can any of my hearers say, God hath dealt graciously with me? There may be some listening to me that say, oh, I do wish that I could say something like that. I don't dare speak, or I fear sometimes that God has not dealt graciously with me. I fear that I'm going to die this way. Now, God may have dealt graciously with you, and you dare not speak out about how he has done this. Have you never had a broken heart and a contrite spirit under the goodness of God to you, a sinner? Have you never had a similar experience as Jacob had, who said, I am unworthy of all the mercies and truth which thou hast showed unto thy servant? Have you never had a witness of the Spirit under the truth while you were reading it, when you came up to the house of God? Did it never affect your heart? Were you never given to believe at one time that the good work was begun in your soul? Would you want to say you never had anything like this? Has this not taken place in your heart, and still you dare not say that God hath dealt graciously with you? He has. Oh yes, he who has begun that good work in your soul, whether you believe it or not, he most certainly will perfect it unto the day of Jesus Christ. God then has dealt graciously with Jacob. You may not have these blessings that Jacob had. He was abundantly blessed in this respect. But despise not the day of small things. Whatever God does is not small. If he ever touched your heart, if he ever broke it to pieces under a feeling sense of your sinnership and his goodness over you, it's a mark, it's a sign that he has something in store for you. And now we find that Jacob, he goes on traveling. Esau requested to go along with him and assist him, but he told him that the flocks were tender and with young, and the children likewise were very young, and he would have to go on very softly. And if a man overdrive them, he said, they might all die in one day. And Esau wanted to leave some men with him to help him, but he refused this likewise. And Esau returned unto Mount Seir. David continues on, and he comes to Succoth. He built there a house and made booths for his cattle. And we find that God appeared again unto Jacob and spake unto him that he should arise and go up to Bethel, and that he should make there an altar unto the God that appeared unto him when he was fleeing before the face of his brother Esau. And he then went up to Bethel. He commanded all that were with him to put away all the false gods that they had. And they gave unto him all the earrings that they had in their ears, and he buried them under an oak. A lesson, my hearers, when we come up to worship God, we must present ourselves before him as we are. We are not going to a theater, we are not going to a dance hall, but we are coming up to worship him. And what a mercy if we may put away all the idol gods, not only outwardly, but inwardly, and be given, as Jacob, to meet God. For when he came to Bethel, God again appeared unto him and spake unto him and told him that he would give him that land that he had given unto Abraham and Isaac, and that land would be given unto him and to his seed after him. And he was commanded to be fruitful and to multiply, and that out of him would come nations, and kings would come forth out of his loins. Jacob then had another meeting with God. What a mercy, my hearers. When God appears unto us and speaks unto us and promises us, as he did Jacob, that he would give unto his seed the land of Canaan, God still comes to his dear children and gives them a promise at times that he has an inheritance in store for them, which is uncorruptible and undefiled, and which is reserved in heaven above. And he gives them sometimes an eye to see this glorious inheritance and sets their hearts longing for it and gives them a token and a sign that they most certainly shall receive a place in that glorious Canaan above to be with him forever and ever. Jacob then, we find he is dwelling in the land of Canaan, the land that God had promised to give unto him and to his seed. We will skip two or three chapters here, which are full of names of the dukes that were related unto Esau, and also of Dinah, the sin that she committed. We will come to the 37th chapter, where we find Jacob dwelling in the land of Canaan. And we find that he had a son by the name of Joseph. And Joseph was 17 years of age. Jacob was 91 years of age when Joseph was born unto him. And Joseph is now 17, so Jacob is 108 years of age. When Jacob was 120 years of age, his father Isaac died, and he and Esau buried him. This we read before we come to this chapter. Jacob was 120, and Isaac was 180 years of age. He lived 5 years longer than Abraham. And now we find that this son, Joseph, he was with his brethren. They were the sons of Bilhah and Zilpah, the two handmaidens that Jacob had married back at the home of Laban. And now he was a shepherd taking care of his father's flocks. Now Jacob, he loved Joseph above all his other children, and he made him a coat of many colors. And now when these brothers seen that Jacob loved Joseph more than any of his children, they envied him, they hated him, and they would not speak peaceably to him. My hearers, it takes wisdom and understanding for parents to govern their children. There should be no partiality shown in the home when we have children. It may be that this son was more observant to the needs of Jacob at this time. He was probably an obedient child, and he did everything possible to please his father. And not only that, he had, by the goodness of God, the grace of God in his soul. And Jacob noticed this. And Jacob, he showed more favor to this son than to his other sons. At those times, those that were in preference, they usually wore garments of gay colors. In time of David, princes, they wore coats too, of very bright scarlet colors. And now Jacob, he put a coat on his son, which was a distinguished mark that he thought more of him and loved him more than his other children. Now when this takes place in the family, children are very observant too. They notice whether the parents show more favor to one than the other, and it usually causes feuds and troubles in families. Therefore, it is necessary to ask God for wisdom and understanding to run even a family so that the children will not be caused to run into arguments and trouble even amongst each other because of the parents. This is what happened. And now, of course, his brothers, they hated him. And now it pleased God to give this young man prophetic dreams. And he got a dream. And he came to his brethren and he said, I had a dream. Listen to my dream. We were binding sheaves in the fields, he says. And there, he says, my sheaf stood upright. He says, and all your sheaves came and bowed down before my sheaf. Well, these brothers said, you think you're going to reign over us? You think we're going to come and bow down before you? They knew the interpretation of this dream very good. And they hated him the more for his dreams. And then he had another dream. And he told it unto his brethren again, and to his father likewise, that he said the sun and the moon and the 11 stars came and bowed down before him. And now his father was even provoked. He said, what, son, you think that I and your mother are going to come and bow down before you and your brethren? Now God had given unto Joseph these dreams. He dreamt of what? He dreamt of prosperity. He dreamt that he was going to be elevated. He dreamt that his brothers and the whole family were going to come and bow down before him. He didn't dream about trouble. He didn't dream of what he was going to go through before he would become this. Joseph, he's a type of so many young people. You know, when young people start out in life, we'll say they're keeping company, they're planning to get married. They have the future in front of them. And what is their future? Prosperity. Everything's going to go good. They're going to have this and they're going to have that, and they never consider what troubles they may have in life. They're put in the background. Likewise here with Joseph. He was not given any divine revelation of what he would have to pass through before he would be elevated to this place where his brethren and his father would come down and bow down before him. But now when he told this dream, they hated him that much to bar. Now their hatred centered in religion. They seen that God was giving this young man these dreams, and that God was planning to elevate him, and they hated him the more for his religion. It was just like between Cain and Abel. Cain hated Abel because of his religion. Likewise, it was the same between Saul and David, for there was a bitter enmity against these two men because of their religion. And now, although these brothers of Joseph planned in every way to try to prevent these dreams from becoming true, their plans helped along the dreams that Joseph had, because they were the instruments in the hands of God that Joseph was brought to that place. And now we find that these young men, the sons of Jacob, they were taking care of their father's flocks. And Jacob, he called Joseph to him and he said, go and see where your brethren are. Find out if it is well with them and with the flocks. He didn't say, well, father, you know my brothers, they hate me, and I don't want to go to them. I don't want to talk to them and ask them about how they are. He was obedient to his father. He didn't raise any objections. He immediately was ready to go. And off he went. And when he came to the place where they were supposed to have been, they weren't there. And he's looking and wandering around in the fields, wondering where his brothers are. And a man finds him and he says to him, who are you looking for? He says, I'm looking for my brethren, he says. Oh, he says, they went down to Dothan. So we find that Joseph, he goes to Dothan. And now these brethren, they seen Joseph coming in the distance. And before he ever got to them, they conspired to slay him, to kill him. Then we'll see what will become of his dreams. Their hatred had reached such a pitch that they were ready to murder their own brother. And they conspired with each other, and they said, let's kill him, and let's throw him in a pit, and let's go home and tell father that a beast has killed him and torn him to pieces. But Reuben, the oldest brother, he delivered him out of their hands. He says, let's not kill him. Let's put him in the pit and let him there. And it seems that they consented to what he said. But now, Reuben must have been taking care of the flocks. He must have went to feed them. For we find that while he was gone, there came a company of Ishmaelites, a caravan of camels bearing spiceries going down into the land of Egypt. And now one of the other brothers said, let's not kill him. He's our brother. He's our own flesh and blood. Let's sell him to these Ishmaelites, and then we'll be rid of him. So they consented together without the knowledge of Reuben. For Reuben, he thought that they were going to put him in the pit, and then he would deliver him out of the pit and bring him home to his father again. Although Reuben had committed a very great sin in laying with his father's concubine, Bilhah, still he was not that bad that he wanted to kill Joseph. He delivered Joseph out of their hands in this way. He couldn't get himself over to kill him. But now these brethren, while Reuben wasn't there, and they talked with each other and they decided to sell Joseph unto these Ishmaelites. Joseph had come, they had taken him, they had torn his coat off his body, and they had cast him into the pit. And they sat down with each other to eat. Oh, if you picture this in your mind, you may think, oh, that boy Joseph, how he must have pleaded, how he must have begged him not to throw him in the pit and not to take his coat like they did off him, how he must have struggled with him, but all to no avail. They showed him no mercy whatsoever. They just hated him, and that's what they did with him. And now when these Ishmaelites come along, why, and they halted this caravan, and they sold their brother Joseph unto these Ishmaelites. They're called Midianites too. For 20 pieces of silver. And Joseph, and this is a type of the Lord Jesus Christ. In fact, if you follow Joseph, you will notice that many of the things that Joseph went through, Christ himself passed through. For the Lord Jesus Christ came into this world, and he came unto his own, and his own received him not. He began to expose their hypocrisy, their sins, and their iniquities, and therefore they hated Christ. It is said here of Joseph that he went to his father with their evil report, and he told his father about the evil doings that his brothers were doing. And therefore they hated him the more for that too, and likewise with Christ. And finally, we have Joseph being sold, and Jesus was sold by one of his own disciples, Judas, for 30 pieces of silver. And now we find that Joseph, he is taken away, and these brothers, they take a kid out of the flock, and they kill this kid, and they wipe this coat of many colors in the blood of this kid. And they go back to their father and they say, Father, here, this is what we found. Now Reuben, he had come back in the meantime to the pit, and the boy wasn't in the pit. But it seems that they must have talked with him, and he must have consented likewise to conceal this from his father, because he never made it known to him. He agreed with what they had done. And now they came back to Jacob, and they presented his coat unto their father, and he had to own up to it that it was his son's coat. And he says that a wild beast hath torn him to pieces, and Joseph is dead. And Jacob, he lost then in his own feelings and in his mind the one son that he so tenderly loved. Old Joseph was dead, gone, torn to pieces. And he was so filled with sorrow on account of this, and all his daughters rose up to comfort him, but he was not to be comforted. He says, I will go down into the grave mourning for my son. So was his grief, and so was his sorrow. Nobody could comfort him. Jacob is a type of a child of God in this respect. God with the children of God, that they were given to experience his favor, his love, his kindness, and his grace in their hearts. They enjoyed something of God in their hearts. They walked with him, they talked with him. He was so near and so dear and so precious unto them, and he was the object that they loved. But there came a time, as with Joseph, he was sold and taken away, and Jacob was brought down into mourning and into sorrow and grief. So it is with the soul. For the Lord Jesus Christ conceals himself, and this soul goes mourning without the Son. And it is so troubled and so oppressed and so cast down because it has no more of those feelings and those enjoyments that it had before. And it fears that it's surely going to die in this state. It's mourning, it's sighing, it's groaning. It says, I will never see the Lord Jesus Christ in the land of the living. It fears that that's it. And now just as Jacob, he was in such a state of mourning, and the soul thinks that it's going to go down into the grave without finding what it has prayed and sought after. Jacob thought so too, but Jacob was wrong, and you're wrong too, Saul. You may not believe it, but just as sure as Jacob went down into the land of Egypt and seen his Joseph alive, so that same Jesus that you had so much communion with and so much fellowship with, he's alive, he's behind the clouds, and there'll be a day coming when he will reveal himself unto your soul, to the joy and to the happiness of your heart. And now this man, Jacob, he's in an awful state and condition. And we find that Joseph is taken down into the land of Egypt, and he's sold unto Potiphar, an officer of the guard. He was then brought into a house which brought him in contact with people that had influence, that had money, and that had business with the government. Joseph then is in this house, Potiphar's house. He bought him for 30 pieces of silver, the commentary says. The Bible doesn't say what he paid for him, but he got a good bargain when he got him. Because he got a boy that feared the Lord. And while Joseph was there, you may be sure that he put him to a lot of mean tasks, but he seen that this young man was honest, was sincere, was industrious, and that whatever he told him to do, he did. And he found that this young man feared the Lord, and that God's blessing rest upon what Joseph did. And finally, this man, Potiphar, he elevated Joseph in his own house. He had such trust in him, and he believed that he was so faithful that he put everything into his hands. And he knew not anything of what went on in his own house except the bread that he ate. But the Lord was with Joseph in the house of Potiphar, and he was a prosperous young man. What a blessing. We may be given that we don't see father, we don't see mother, we don't have any brothers anymore to go to, but when we have God and we have his grace and we have a blessing of wisdom given unto us, these things can never be taken away from us. That God was with Joseph was one of the greatest blessings that Joseph had. He had the presence of his Lord with him. And where he was in this house, we find that the blessing of God rested upon the house. God made everything to prosper. And this man, Potiphar, whatever he had in the field, God blessed. Whatever he had in the house, God blessed. And this man began to see that it was because of Joseph that the blessing of God rested upon his house. My hearers, this teaches us that if we have someone in our house that has the grace of God, then we have God's blessing resting upon us. And not only this, this Joseph, he shined out in that house. There were other servants there before him. But wherever the grace of God may be in a person's soul, it makes that person honest, it makes him sincere, it makes him upright. And this shines out. It's something that's to be seen even in our outward life, that people notice that that person is different than others. It was to be seen on Joseph. And God made him then to prosper. Don't you think Joseph was thinking about back home? Thinking about the dreams that he had? How that his brothers were going to come and bow down before him? And his father likewise? And here now, God was making him prosperous. God was raising him up already in this family. He already had charge of the whole house and of every affair that was going on in that house. I think Joseph was thinking, well, God's going to fulfill my dreams. But he did not realize yet what he had to go through before God fulfilled those dreams. He was prosperous. But now, while he was in this house, well, this woman that was married to Potiphar, she began to cast eyes upon this man, Joseph. He probably was a good-looking young man. And she didn't have any affection anymore for her husband, so she started to look towards Joseph. And when she was alone with him one day, she says to him, "Come, lie with me." But Joseph, he spake unto her and said, "Listen, there isn't anyone greater in this house than me. Everything is under my supervision. And your husband, my master, he has not denied me anything except you, because you are his wife. And shall I then do this great wickedness and sin against God?" Oh, my hearers, it was a blessing for Joseph that I think he was still living in his first love. The exercises of Joseph's soul were going out to God. And if you know what I'm talking about, if you ever had that, and then you shun sin, you hate sin. You wouldn't want to sin against God. You wouldn't want to live without sin. Oh, when this conscience is so tender, and when we want to live for God, then temptations can be warded off. And Joseph then was in a very lively condition of soul when this woman tempted him. And therefore, the grace of God prevented him from falling. We have a man, David, called a man after God's own heart. He wasn't tempted like Joseph. He stood on top of his palace and he seen this woman in the distance. The graces in David's soul were in a low ebb. The flesh had the upper hand. And when he seen this woman, he desired to have her. And he was king and he commanded that they should bring her to him. And we know the result. He fell into the sin of adultery and he fell into the sin of murder, a child of God. Two of them, Joseph and David. Joseph was kept. David slipped into this sin. My hearers, my time is gone. I would like to continue on this subject, but the Lord willing, we'll pick up the lesson at this point next week. God bless the feeble instruction that I have been trying to give to you this day.